Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two already. All right. Let's run down Port O'Connor way. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Lynn Smith, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Lynn. What's going on?
Morning, Mick. Oh, man, just hunting those deer.
Hunting those deer. Where you at, George West?
We're in George West, yeah.
Man, you got a clear phone signal, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're down here chasing those four-legged deer.
Four legs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Seeing some pretty good deer. We're seeing some pretty good ones. And you know what's interesting is, boy, those does are skittish of the bucks. They are skittish of them. You know? They're leery of the bucks.
Really?
Yeah. That's surprising, you know, this early. And, boy, those bucks come around those does, man, they're skittish of them. Boy, they run from them. And, but I'll tell you what, we're seeing some good deer. I saw a young buck yesterday. He's got some good-looking chocolate horns on him and got some mass to him. And I bet he's 3 years old. You know, he's a good-looking deer, but he had 17 points. And he was a pretty deer. Real pretty deer, had good tine length, but he had a lot of kickers. You know, he had kickers everywhere.
Right.
But total points, I looked at him with my spotting scope, and I counted 17 points, scoreable points. So he'll be a good deer. You know, you give him a couple more years, two or three more years, and, man, he'll be a hoss, I guarantee you. But we were looking at trail camera pictures, and there's some real good deer that have come up this year. Real good deer. And we've got the hunters that are here. They're leaving today by noon, and we've got some management hunters coming in. They're right. Going to hunt for two or three days. And they're going to shoot eight-pointers and under, shoot some cull bucks, such as that, and some does. I think we're up to, about 32 does that we've taken so far this year.
Well, that's good. You're not going to dent in them then. Were y'all supposed to take? 89, you said, or something like that?
I think the biologist wants us to take, he wanted us to take at least 30 by now. So that's good.
Yeah.
And we're going to do the flyover on December the 5th, finish the flyover because they had to stop it because of the wind.
Right.
I think we got about 75 tags. So December the 5th, we'll do the flyover and then get a count. And I think we may have to do more than that, you know, depending on the flyover. But when they did the count, They only flew like 40% of the ranch, and they counted 198 deer, I think they said.
Dang.
And they said they had about a 90 or 89% fawn crop, and so it was a good fawn crop, and I can tell you that because.
That's
almost
exactly
every doe
what Blaine told me yesterday. He said every doe's got twins on it just about.
They do. They do. And yesterday, you know, we had a doe picked out that we were going to take, and she was a big old doe. And I told that customer, I said, you know, that's a good one right there. That's a fully mature doe. And you know, we were going to go ahead and take her. She was in a feed pen. And I said, let's wait till she gets out. Well, when she got out, a little yearling ran over to her. I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!"
Boy, that was a good call, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, and
good call.
I thought that little yearling was with another doe. You know,
right?
When that little yearling ran over to her, I said, "No, no, 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 no." That's and the yearling was fairly small. It was young. It's
late
amazing.
Hatch.
They had a late rut. You know, yep. They must have had a late rut. But yeah, I saw a doe yesterday or day before that had twins. That the twins were pretty small. They were pretty small.
Blaine's saying some of the same things. He said he's seen a couple that have had, you know, with a mama that still have spots on them.
I haven't seen that. I've been looking for that. But,
yeah.
I did see that, like I said, over on that other ranch I got on between Freer and Cotulla.
Yeah.
I did see that. I saw one that had twins, and those twins were so small, it was like, you know, they'd just been born. I mean,
look,
good
those
grief.
Little jackrabbits.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, they were really tiny. Yeah, it was crazy. But anyway, the deer just really look healthy. They really do. I did see one doe that I commented on that was thin. She was, you could see her ribs and her hips, you know, and she had twins, and the twins looked real healthy.
Yeah,
she was run down.
Yeah.
Those twins had really worked on her, boy, I guarantee you. They really had. But both those twins look good. They did. They were happy.
Probably bucks.
One of them was. You know, somebody was telling me, a biologist was telling me that 9 times out of 10, you know, if they're twins, one will be a buck, one will be a doe.
Right.
You know. But also, a biologist was telling me 9 times out of 10, when they're twins, they didn't know this till they started having DNA checking, that 9 times out of 10, when they have twins, it's from two different bucks.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, they didn't know it till they started having DNA and checking them. But that's incredible. I mean, boy, you know as well as I do, you see a doe's in heat and she's in season, and boy, I mean, there'll be 5 or 6 bucks chasing that one doe.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, they're after her, boy. It's incredible. I saw 5 bucks chasing one doe one day, and they were all broken up. And, man, they were hot on her trail, back and forth, across the Sendero. And I mean, these were big old mature bucks, you know. And we had some guys one time that flew down from Pennsylvania. I'll never forget this. And, man, they were all fired up. I said, look, we got to go to the rifle range. You've got to shoot your rifles in and make sure they're on. And we're setting up and everything. I looked up. And there was a big old chocolate horn 10-point. Chasing a doe back and forth across the rifle range. And I said, fellas, somebody ought to shoot that deer. I mean, that's a nice buck. I mean, he's a pretty deer. He's heavy horned and 10 point. And nobody wanted to shoot him. You know, they just got there. And I said, guys, that's a pretty deer. I mean, he's a full grown mature 10, you know, and nobody wanted to shoot him. Well, as it turned out, nobody killed a deer as big as that one, you know. Bird in the hand, man. You should have shot him.
Bird in the hand's worth two in the bush, I promise you.
That's
I've made that mistake before. pass on one that I shouldn't have had and then never see it again and wish I'd taken it. You know, it's just...
I've done the same thing.
That's the nature of the beast. Get too greedy, man.
I've done the same thing. I never forget what... years and years ago, you know, when I was growing up and we were in high school and everything, we used to go out to Kerrville, and a friend of mine, his parents, grandparents had a ranch out of Hunt, Texas. Mm. And we used to go out there every Thanksgiving, and we would hunt for 4 days. And all we did out there, we'd ride in a Jeep. We never hunted in stands. They had 18,000 acres, and we just rode in a Jeep. And that's the way we hunted. And his dad told us, he said, as soon as we got there, they said, go over to the neighboring rancher and get some corn to fill in these feeders for us. So we were riding in the Jeep going over to the neighboring ranchers, and there was a buck standing off to the side. He had about 6 does with him. Mm-hmm. And we stopped the Jeep, and I had the only rifle with us. And I looked at this buck through the scope, and... he was an 8-point, big tall horns on him, and I passed him up. I handed the rifle to this other guy, and he passed him. And I passed the rifle around. Everybody passed him up, and we never saw a buck that big in 4 days, you know, after that. Yep, everybody passed him up, and we should have taken him, you know. Never fails. Never fails.
Well, you know, these deer have been moving good. I mean, Blaine had like 6 last weekend. They all shot a buck. And then he had 13 this weekend. And they're not even hunting this morning. Everybody shot out yesterday. They're going to pack up and leave. So,
yeah. Well, that's going to happen. That's going to happen with us today, too.
Yeah.
I think these guys are going to leave this morning. And I think they're pretty much sleeping in. And I'm just sitting here drinking coffee. But,
me and you both, bro. I wish I was down there with you. we could swap some stories and look at some pictures.
Ooh,
hey, that picture you sent me earlier, that double drop, man.
Wasn't that pretty?
Golly, I've never shot a drop pine buck. Well, I've never even seen one in the wild. Never have seen one.
Oh, my goodness. We had this one here that, you know, we had this beautiful deer double drops, and this buck kept coming between 2 different stands, and we said, well, we'll save him for this girl that was the daughter of the guy that had the deer lease here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, okay, we called her and said, look, you got to come down here and take this deer before, you know, he gets away from us. So anyway, she came down, and Al, the ranch manager, he called me and he said, he said, she shot the deer, but the deer ran off. I said, say what? Wow. He said, man, and she's a good shot. She's a really good shot. She shot at the deer 4 times.
What?
I said, you're kidding me. And he said the last time she had shot at him, he went over and stood behind this bush and stared at the stand. And then he just turned. He stared at it. He said, I looked at my watch. And she stared at the blind. That deer stared at the blind for about 5 or 10 seconds and then just turned and walked into the brush. And he said he got out of the stand, he walked down there. There was no blood, no hair, nothing.
Yeah.
He looked everywhere, no blood. And he said, I think she missed him. I really do. Well, I was coming down the next day. And so I said, man. I came down to the ranch, and I was just pulling my hair out because, I mean, this was a big double drop time deer.
Man.
And I said, oh, man, it just made me sick to think that we had lost this deer. So there was a young man that helped us on the ranch, and I got him, and I said, let's go look. So we went over that stand, and I had an idea of where that deer had been, where he had walked into the brush. And so I pulled the truck up, and we got out, and I said, all right, let's just kind of spread out, and let's walk in here and look around. So we walked in about 30 yards inside the brush and spread out, and he hollered at me. He said, hey, the ground's all torn up over here, and there's a lot of hair. So I said, well, stay right there. I'll be right there. So I worked my way through all that cat claw and everything. And I got over to him, and we were standing there, and we were looking around. The ground was plowed up, boy. And looked over, and about 30 yards from us through that brush, there he was, laying there. And he was laying there, and you could see the backbone and the horns and head, and that was it. And the coyotes had completely stripped him. But they didn't break any of the horns off or anything. But anyway, at least she was able to, you know, get the horns and everything. So we got it back, and she got another cape and had it mounted. She got that deer on the cover of the Texas Trophy Hunter magazine.
Man.
I mean, beautiful deer. Beautiful deer.
A lot of times you gut shoot one, they'll kind of hump up and stand there for a little bit and then just kind of crab walk off. They're all kind of where you can, if you can see them good out in the open, you can tell how they're all just, you know, bowed up and hurting inside, and they just walk off and just fall over and die.
That's something.
Let me knock this break out, Lynn. Hang on a second, buddy. I'll be right back at you.
All right.
Well, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch. They're a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. And whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters also. So bring your friends, bring your clients, and let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups up to 40 people and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 520. All right, Liam, we're back.
Yeah, we got guys starting to wake up around here now.
There you go. Well, that's good.
Yeah, there's a few of them going to go out, I think. But anyway, majority of them, I think, are going to pack up and head home. That's what we normally do on Sunday morning. We end up loading them up and send them home.
Yep.
Pack their coolers and head them home. Yeah, but anyway, it's been a pretty week, you know. But I tell you, it's so dry down here though. It's crazy.
You didn't get any rain out of this front.
A sprinkle. That's about it.
Just a little sprinkle. The dust. Yeah.
No, didn't even knock the dust off your car. You know, it's just been real dry, real dry.
Y'all killed any big snakes?
No, we haven't.
Well,
I hadn't seen
thing.
One.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I know it. I'm looking for them. That was a pretty good one. That picture you sent me.
That was two of them killed within 10 minutes of each other.
Really?
Both of them over 6 feet. That is nasty. Do you see the heads on those? Bigger than your fist.
I know. Oh, man. That knocked you down. You know,
Lord have mercy.
I was quail hunting on the King Ranch one time, and I was talking to an old boy down there that he managed about 20,000 acres of just for quail hunting for the light company out of Corpus. And he told me, he said, man, when you kill or when you see more than one rattlesnake, you know, in a short matter of time, pick your dog up and go to the car, go to the truck, because they're moving. You know, those snakes are on the move. It's just something in the atmospheric pressure or whatever, but they're moving. Just, you know, they just pick your dog up. Don't let him run to the truck. You pick him up and carry him.
Boy.
Yeah, it's bad. And I had a deer lease out of Beeville, and we had a lot of big rattlesnakes on that place.
That's snake country right there, too, you know, because there's a lot of birds.
We never killed one under 5 feet long.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we had some monsters on that place. And I was going turkey hunting, and I was hurrying to a little corner of a fence line that I love to hunt turkeys at. And I was hurrying down this cow trail, and I heard one buzz. Uh-huh. And I stopped, and a five-footer came across the fence, came across that trail. And I blew his head off. And I hung him over a bush, and I figured, well, I'll get him on my way back. And so I started back down that trail, and I didn't go 30 yards, and there was a six-footer laying there. And he was just laying there looking at me. He wasn't called up. And I took my hat off, and I threw my hat down at him, trying to make him call up so I get a shot at his head. And, boy, he reared back and popped my hat twice.
Dang.
And I went, uh-oh. And I threw my turkey decoy down, and he popped it twice. I had to mess with him until I finally got him to really call up and rear up in air. And he reared up.
Yeah,
get a good shot at him, and I finally was able to blow his head off. And I grabbed those two snakes, and I went to the camp. And my dad was with me, and he knew I'd just left, you know, to go turkey hunting, and I threw those two big old rattlesnakes up on the table, and his eyes got real big, and I said, "The heck with this turkey hunting, Pop. I'm done for the afternoon." I threw them up on the table. I said, "Man," and I didn't even have snake leggings on or anything. I said, "I'm done." I said, "Those snakes are moving, man. They are moving." Oh, I mean, like you say, their heads were big as your fist, you know. Man, and they're moving like crazy. And we had a lot of pigs.
About, you know, when everybody's seeing them like that, they are definitely on the move. And, man, you got to be super careful.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes. Yeah, there's something. We had quail hunters down here one time here in George West. And it was real cold one morning. And we waited till the sun got up till we were going to take the hunters out. Mm-hmm. And it got up into the 30s. Upper 30s, and we went ahead and took the hunters out. And I looked over, and these guys were kind of gathered up together, standing in one spot. And I walked over. I said, "What are y'all looking at?" They said, "Look at this rattlesnake." And it was a rattlesnake. He had 18 buttons, and he was called up. He was so cold he couldn't rattle. He just shook. His tail was going side to side, just like that. But he couldn't really
buzz.
Rattle.
Yeah.
He couldn't buzz. And he had his head big as your fist, you know. Mm. And I said, "Shoot him. Shoot him. What are y'all looking at?" And he said, "Look at this rattlesnake." And they were just standing there looking at him. And I said, "Oh, my gosh, shoot him."
Well, Blaine killed had 16 buttons. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Man, that's big. 16, 18 buttons on these snakes.
Oh, gosh. Incredible. You know,
have you seen these videos of these guys these rattlesnakes will be all balled up, coiled up real tight, and they'll stick their hand under them and pick them up and hold them?
Yes, yes.
What is up with that? I mean,
I don't know.
Kind of paralyzed state or what? I mean, who? Not me, man. There's no way I can do that.
No. No. Not me either.
But you've seen that nightmare before, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen it. Well, you know, you go to these Texas Trophy Hunter shows, and those guys are walking around in those deals with all those rattlesnakes. Oh, my gosh. I go home and have nightmares about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd stay away from that.
No. I mean, yeah, they're wearing snake boots, but what about a high striker, you know?
Well, you get some of those snakes. People get hit high.
Yes, they do. You know, that guy that I ran into on the King Ranch said that, he was wearing, he wore those leggings.
Chaps.
You know, those chaps. Yeah. And he said in 20 years of guiding down there that he had been struck 3 times, and all 3 times were above the knee.
Ooh.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, that's high.
Pretty high. Yeah, but he said every time he was in that salt grass, and those rattlers get up on top of that salt grass.
Yeah,
they crawl up on top of it, son. And you know, good, lucky he didn't get hit waist high. You know,
I had a customer. He was fishing in the boat with me one day, and his son went to UT, was a ball player there, and they were dove hunting. It was opening day of dove season. And his son got hit just below the hip. He said, "Dad, it's like somebody hit me in the leg with a baseball bat. It hit him so hard. It was a big one." And it ruined his baseball career. They did skin grafts on that leg for 6 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it messed him up, man. It was a bad deal. I'll never forget him getting a phone call while we're fishing. We were catching them, too. We left them biting.
Oh, I bet.
He took off to the hospital in San Antonio where his son was at. He was in bad shape.
Well, you know, I'll never forget, I had a duck blind over on Matagorda Island, and that's the one thing I did. I get in that blind. I looked that blind over up and down with flashlight before I got in it, looking for a rattlesnake because – I mean, there's rattlesnakes all over those islands, and they get up in that blind, entwined in that cane. They can sure do it. My neighbor across the street from me here in Port O'Connor, he came down his stairs one day, and he had a big chili patine plant underneath his stairway, and he walked downstairs and he said he turned to go get in his truck. And he just happened to glance over at that chili patine plant, and there was a rattlesnake crawled up in that plant.
Oh, boy.
Underneath his stairway. Yeah. And it's funny, he had a dog kennel in his backyard, and he had a 2-dog kennel. And he was going out of town with his neighbor's wife could hear his dogs. He had 2 bird dogs, and they had put both the dogs in one side of the kennel. And boy, they were raising heck. They were barking and barking and barking. And she said, "Well, that's not normal. They just don't do that." Well, she walked downstairs and she walked through his gate to check on those dogs. And there was a 6-foot rattlesnake coiled up in the other kennel.
The other kennel.
The other.
Well, y'all got that one. I'm going to take this one.
He was called up. He was called up.
Dogs were not happy.
No. Jeez. Can you imagine? Oh, they were upset. Yeah.
That's nasty.
They were upset. Man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'd have been upset, too. Yeah, buddy.
My mother, living out there on the bay where they did, on Trinity Bay, she was out there watering one evening and on her back patio, and she had this one pot plant, and she was watering it, and she saw something move under there, and she yelled at my dad, "Oh, my God, there's a snake." And he runs over there, and he drug that thing out of there with a hoe and killed it, and it was a cottonmouth, and it was as big around as my wrist and had a huge head on it. I mean, it was a big boy. Well, he killed that one, so she's watering another pot plant next to that one, and there was another one just as big as that one in there, too, a pair of them. What if she'd have reached down there to, you know how women fiddle around with the dirt and everything with their plants, and I mean, she'd have got nailed.
Oh, and yeah.
Two of them. What's the chances of that? Two back to back, right next to each other.
Oh, man.
I'm surprised you couldn't smell them, you know, because they smell. They
yeah.
Put out an odor.
Oh, they do. I can smell a cottonmouth.
Oh, man. They,
I grew up around them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy.
Oh, I used to crappie fish around Port Arthur there. I used to crappie fish around those bayous, Taylor's Bayou, and uh-huh. Big Hill Bayou. And I'd walk those banks, you know, and we'd crappie fish along the edges. And, boy, I could smell them. And when I smell that smell, I just freeze.
Yes.
You know, and start looking. And nine times out of ten, you'd find one, you know. You'd uh-huh. find them. You'd see them. Oh, I remember that. I can see it like it was today. I remember I was easing along this bank and I smelled one and I stopped and looked and there was a cottonmouth laying there, had his mouth open.
Yeah.
And you see that white mouth.
That's why they call him cottonmouth. It's snow white.
That's right. That's right. He was warning me, you know. He had that mouth open looking at me and he was a big old
cottonmouth. He was in defense mode. He said, this big
yes,
old boy was fixing to get me.
Yes, he was. And I thought, is he dead? And I thought, no he's not dead.
Yeah, reach down there and find dead. Out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. They're nasty.
Oh, Lord.
They say the infection is worse than the bite from a cottonmouth.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me knock this break out, Lynn.
All right, man.
Hang on. All right, well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market. All right, deer season's in full swing, and no better place to have all your wild game processed than the Belleville Meat Market. And when you're by the meat market, check out their smoked samples, sausage samples. They're available daily there in the store. You can try it before you buy it. And they have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served all week, Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with their pecans. Smoked pulled pork and homemade hot dogs now available on their menu. Bulk pricing is available on fresh ground beef and original country hot dogs. You can buy two packs of those and get the third pack free. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf process, that's available for pre-order and custom processing also. And their wild game processing, check out their new sausage recipe. That's available for deer season. You got to try it. It's really good. And while you're at it, get you some deer tamales made and venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. They're now taking orders for country smoked turkeys. These are 11 to 13-pound average birds, and there's a limited supply, so get them while you can. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 538 here in the Bayou City. And I failed to mention so far this morning, today is the Marine Corps birthday. How about that? November 10th. And the Marines are around the globe. They're celebrating 249 years of success on the battlefield and a legacy defined by honor, courage, and commitment. So happy birthday, Jarheads. Tomorrow's Veterans Day, so big 2 days for vets. All right, let's get back to Lynn Smith. All right, Lynn, we're back, buddy.
All right, man. Good. Well, yesterday morning, I hunted one of my favorite stands on this ranch, and we were sitting up there in the stand, and I could hear some turkeys behind us, and I love that.
Gobble.
That's, oh yeah, they weren't gobbling, but they were there. You could hear them, you know.
Yeah,
a little chirping. And anyway, I love that stand. But there's a group of turkeys that moved between that stand and another stand about half a mile away, and they've got one gobbler in that group that has a blonde beard, and he has a blonde beard, and
that's cool,
you talk about. You talk about a trophy. Now, that would be a trophy, you know.
Yeah.
And he walked by that blind one day, and I looked down at him, and I thought, now, that's a trophy, you know. Somebody would really like to have that one, including me.
Right.
But, I mean, I could have just almost just leaned out the window and dropped a rock on him, you know. I mean, I was that close to him. But he's an old gobbler. I mean, he's an old one. But, man, big old long beard on him.
Man.
But anyway, I was hoping to see him again because I've seen him several times. But anyway, we didn't see him. He kind of went off to the side. We didn't get to see him come by the blind. I was hoping he'd come by, but he didn't. But anyway, there were a lot of good young bucks yesterday at that stand. And that one particular stand, boy, I mean, I've seen some really monster deer at that stand. Oh, my goodness.
You know, Rio Grande turkeys live quite a long time. You know, I've always heard 3 to 5 years an adult in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
But I just looked it up on the longevity, and it says previous longevity records varied from 9.5 years for a Merriam's turkey to 14 years for the Rio Grande turkey. So they
really
live longer than I thought, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. I wondered how long they'd live.
Yeah, I figured they were short-lived is what I always heard, but maybe it's mm-hmm. the areas they live in because everybody kills them.
Yeah.
But, up to 14 years, that's longer than I thought.
We've got the road coming into the ranch here, comes in and it curves to the right in one point, just curves to the right. And there's a tank there and it's a lot of mesquite trees around it. And so needless to say, there's a lot of turkeys right there. They kind of hang out right there. And you always see turkeys there. Well, I was coming in the ranch one day, and when I got to that bend, there were a bunch of turkeys, you know, running in the road and all that stuff. And as I made that bend, a bunch of turkeys took off. And as they took off, a bobcat jumped up in the air after one of those turkeys and missed
him.
Wow. Yeah, that was a sight.
That'd been a cool photo.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
Yeah, man.
But anyway, he missed him. But we got a lot of bobcats.
Old Vaughn, my plumber buddy, you know, that passed away not too long ago, we used to go up to his place. I'd take the kids up there in DeHaenis there by Hondo. And, man, that's Turkey City up there. I mean, you'd go outside at night, go out of the house and run out there and get something out of your truck. You'd slam that door and you could hear them go off, and you know, where they were roosting real close to the house there. I said, man.
Oh, yeah.
There must be 500 turkeys out there in that brush, you know.
Oh, I tell you. Yeah, we
had a lot.
We had this. Oh, I went over one time. I said, you know, I'm going to go over and sit in this one stand that right by where these turkeys were roosting. I'm going to see how many turkeys are roosting. So I went over and snuck up to this one stand and got in it real quiet one morning. I'm sitting in the stand. I can hear them up in those trees, you know. Just kind of chirping, you know. And, boy, when it started breaking day, I could see them up in the top of those trees. And they were everywhere. Well, boy, when it started getting light, they started coming out of those trees and landing on the ground. And, oh, my goodness, when it got light, it looked like the ground was alive, you know.
Yep.
It looked like an ocean. There were so many turkeys.
Isn't that something?
Oh, it is. It is.
You know, and that's weird how certain areas of the state are just covered up with them, and other areas they're real slim pickings, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Blaine has his, you know, down there where he's at, you know, you'd think there'd be more turkeys because it's such a good bird country, you know, for quail and dove. But certain years he'll have them, and in other years he won't. That's weird how that works.
Well, when I first started guiding on this place, we only had about maybe a dozen turkeys. But then we started hunting the predators. You know, we started shooting the bobcats. And we started thinning out some of the bobcats. And the turkey population really picked up. It did.
Well, that makes sense.
Yep, it really did. But
we need to do something about all the bull sharks and dolphins in the bays. We'd have a lot more trout and redfish.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Flounder. I mean, how many times you seen a dolphin throw a flounder up in the air, you know?
I have. I've seen two of them throw one back and forth.
Full of food when they do that, and then they're just playing with them.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I saw two of them throwing a flounder.
You know, we've caught over the years that have those claw marks down the side of them. That's from porpoise teeth.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I always wondered what that was, and one day I run into a – biologist, and I was telling him about it. I said, look at this trout I got in here, like, you know, bear claw marks on both sides of it. And he said, that's porpoise had a hold of that. He got a porpoise.
Yeah. He was already full. He could care less, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because if he'd have wanted that trout, he could have swallowed it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, I saw two porpoises one day playing catch with a flounder, and they throw it back and forth. It was skipping. They'd skip like a frisbee
with it.
And it would skip across the water, and the other one would grab it and throw it back and skip across the water. Oh, I tell you, they're pretty smart. They really are smart, though. Yeah. But I had a buddy of mine, I guess it was last year, he was dangling a skipjack in the water. And a porpoise came up to grab it. Well, he grabbed his hand. grabbed his hand. And
cut his hand up. Send me a picture of that?
Yes. Yep, that's right.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day, and it kind of reminded me of the way Blaine's hand looked when that deer came back to life when he grabbed it by the horns.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was real lucky he didn't get gored. He'd already shot it twice with a pistol. A girl had shot it through the neck or whatever. I don't remember the story to detail, but it messed him up big time. And then I was thinking about that. I said, who sent me a photo of somebody's hand where a porpoise grabbed it? And that was you.
Yeah.
I should have remembered that.
You know, I've been showing these hunters around here this week. I was showing them the pictures of that guy that walked up on his deer and it wasn't dead and it attacked him.
Oh, that almost scalped him where it made his scalp open? Boy, that was gross.
Oh, wasn't it? And, I mean, their mouths just fell open. But people don't realize that. And I tell people, I go, look, when you walk up on your deer, if his eyes are shut, he's alive.
He's alive. That's right.
Shoot him again. But if his eyes are open, he's dead.
Exactly.
So, you know, people don't realize that. And, you know, I had a hunter that shot a deer that was trying to get up, and he was just kind of rocking back and forth. And I walked up on that deer with my pistol, and I was going to shoot him in the neck and just finish him off. Well, that deer kind of looked over his shoulder at me, and he was a big eight point, heavy. And I thought, oh, this isn't good. You know, he can jump up and attack me. Well, I was lucky because when he looked over his shoulder at me, and he was probably, oh, I'd say 30 feet from me, he jumped up like he wasn't scratched, but he jumped up and went to my left, Well, this guy, he was used to hunting like in Bandera or someplace around there, hill country.
Yeah,
and this was the biggest deer he'd ever shot in his life. And I knew he wanted to mount this deer. But as he went by me to my left, I shot him running by me. I shot him in his front shoulder, and I broke both his front shoulders as he went by me. And I knocked him down with my pistol. And then I went over and put two in his heart and finished him off. But I was lucky. You know, that deer could just as easily attack me, you know, very easily. And I got him back to the ranch house, and I had him hung up, and I was scanning him out. And the ranch manager walked by, and he went, oh, my God, how many times y'all shoot that deer? And I said, well, I shot him running with my pistol. And he went, you did what? I said, yeah, I shot him running.
Dirty Harry, man.
Yeah. But I was very lucky. You know, that deer could just as easily jumped up and come at me. Yeah,
a wounded deer will kill you.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
He will kill you.
I mean, how many times have you heard people walking over, putting their guns on a deer's rack, and then backing off to take a picture of him and have the deer jump up and run off with his rifle?
Yeah.
You know? It's happened more than once. You know, it has.
Well, I'd hate to be squatted down behind posing to take my picture and he's come back to earth, man.
Yeah.
That would be quite a surprise.
Wouldn't it?
But that, you know, that's as good a tip as you could give anybody on a deer when you walk up to it. If his eyes are closed, you better back off. Pull the trigger.
You better
again.
Pop him. You better shoot him again.
Don't get close to him.
Don't get hurt because.
And don't ever walk up on an animal down without your rifle with you, or at least a pistol in your hand.
Right, exactly.
You got second thoughts about it.
That's right. I'll tell you what, we had, matter of fact, we had old Paul McElhaney that owned Tabasco, and he was hunting with us, and a friend of mine was hunting him, and a big buck came out chasing a doe, and McElhaney knocked him down. Well, as soon as he knocked that deer down, another buck came running out of the brush and locked horns with that dead buck on the ground. You know how they'll do when they're in rut like that. He'll come out and lock. They'll come out and lock horns with a dead deer. And he locked horns with that dead deer laying on the ground and was fighting him. And the guide, a friend of mine, said, "Oh my God, he's gonna
had words in the brush before that other one got popped."
Probably did.
They were already squaring off to start with, you know.
And he said, "Oh my God, he's going to break him up." So he was. They were hunting out of a topside Suburban, had a blind on top of the Suburban. Right. And he said, "Oh my God, Paul," he said, "they're going to break him up." Well, he climbed down and starts running out there going, "Hey, hey, hey," trying to run him off. And then the big buck stops and looks up, and he went, "Oh my God, I don't even have a gun with me." And that buck's standing there looking at him. Well, that buck could have easily attacked him, you know, as mad as he was. And he said, "Oh my God, I've made a big mistake." Well, look, he was very lucky the buck turned and ran off, because that deer could have charged him and just attacked him. Could have attacked him real easy. But the deer turned and ran off. I said, "Man, you didn't have a pistol with you. You didn't have anything." And there's McElhaney sitting up there in that stand, you know, and didn't know what to do. But they were very lucky. But anyway,
I've heard of guys rattling bucks up on them and getting run over by them.
Oh, yeah.
Blaine rattled one up for me one time, and thank God we were standing behind this fence line with all this heavy brush on it. That deer tried to come through the brush at us.
Yeah.
It was just a young, stupid deer. Little 8-point, little basket rack 8-point. Buddy, he was mad. He had fire in his eyes. He's ready.
Well, one of the guys here, he was rattling on the side of the Sendero. He was kneeling down and rattling for one of the hunters. And they heard something, turned and looked, and this buck came through the brush with his head down, charging them. And the guy that was rattling just literally, he was on his knees rattling, and he just dove into the Sendero, you know, to get away from the deer. And the buck hit his head down. Well, as he came by, one of his tines went through a belt loop on his belt and ripped out the belt loop. Whoa. On his belt. That's close.
That's too close. Too close for comfort there, buddy.
Yes, it is.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, they come in there, the hair on the back of their neck is standing up. I mean, they're mad.
Their hackles up, and they're ready to rock.
That's right. They're ready to rock and roll, man. They come in there ready to fight.
You'd have wished you'd rattled up Mike Tyson instead of that buck.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Oh, they come in there mad.
A deer will kill you, man.
They will. They're a wild animal, you know. People just don't realize how
those bucks don't back
are.
Down. That's why so many of them get killed by like mountain lions and stuff. They'll stand their ground and fight them.
That's right.
You know, a doe.
That's why. That's right. That's right. They. I was telling these guys here that have the lease here now. I was telling them that the other day. I said, you know, a mountain lion will go after a buck before they will a doe, because a buck will scent. Sure. Stand and fight where a doe will run, you know. And when we find deer in these ponds that have been attacked by a mountain lion, well, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a buck, you know. And sure enough, they found one the other day. They found a buck in one of the ponds that had been attacked by a mountain lion.
Man.
And, I mean, we've found in these ponds. We've drug out of ponds.
When a deer gets injured, they go to water.
They sure do. Yeah. We drug one out of one of the ponds. We just saw the antlers sticking up out of the water. And we roped him and drug it out, and it was 15 points.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. He was a nice buck. Mm. In fact, the owner of the ranch, he says he's going to he's going to have them eventually, just have them mounted, you know, get a cape and have it mounted. But, you know, it's a nice deer.
Yeah.
15-point deer.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah. But, you know, they're there. I mean, those mountain lions go after these big bucks before they will a doe. We were taking does one day, and we were shooting does, and we said, well, each guide should bring in at least two does. So we were stringing them up, and we were scanning them out, and I grabbed one doe to hang it up, and I looked, and I said, oh, my goodness. I said, look at this. And we had this one big doe. She had scratches from her neck all the way down to her rump, and then had a chunk of meat taken out of her rump. And a mountain lion had a hold of her, and he had a hold of her all the way down. And as a last resort, he took a chunk out of her rump, but she got away from
it. On her buttocks. All the rest were probably claw marks from his front paw.
They were. They were.
Wow. Amazing.
But she got away from him, and then the hunter shot her, you know. But I'll send you the picture of that deer.
All right.
That's
well,
amazing.
I got to run, Lynn. We are already out of time. That was fast. That was a good conversation, too.
Yes, sir.
It's well, hard to be lost for words when it comes to hunting and fishing anyway. So.
Isn't it true?
If somebody wants to call you about hunting or fishing, Lynn, give them a number so they can get a hold of everybody.
Yes, sir, man. 361-935-6833.
Lynn, have a good Sunday, my friend. Good talking to you.
You too, Mick. You have a good one, buddy.
All right, man. Later. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break, national anthem and all that good stuff. We will be back right after these messages.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.